But secondly, this morning, we're going to look at the fall of this city, Tyre. But what I want you to see is when God wanted to describe the fall of Satan, and I want you to turn over to chapter 28 of Exodus, because I want to show you something that's very interesting. How significant this city was in its destruction, because it was telling about what God thinks about pride. It was telling of what God thinks about those that think that they are impregnable, that they are beyond His control. And it's very interesting that two chapters later, that God proclaims against the king of this city. Verse 1 of chapter 28. The word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, say to the prince of Tyre, Ethbaal was his name, and this man was so bloated with pride. Well, look what it says. Son of man, say to the prince of Tyre, thus says the Lord, verse 2, because your heart is lifted up, and you say, I am a god. Now, you know what's interesting? This king thought he was a god, and this king was bloated with pride and thought no one could touch him. And God said, you are merely a puppet in front of the god of this world, Satan. And listen to this. I sit in the seat of gods in the midst of the sea, yet you are a man and not a god, though you set your heart as the heart of a god. Verse 3, behold, you are wiser than Daniel. Remember Daniel, the exile that's off in Babylon right now? Daniel really was wise. Daniel didn't think he was God. Ethbaal was a fool, and he thought he was God. And how many people in our world are that way, that are just infected with Satan's pride? Well, look at 11. Behold, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, take up a lament for the king of Tyre, and say to him, thus says the Lord God. And now, all of a sudden, in this prophecy, we find something very amazing about biblical prophecy. God is shooting past Ethbaal, the king of Tyre, and he's shooting to the real god of this world that's behind him. And who's that? Satan. And in the 28th chapter, and if you always wondered where this is the chronicle of Satan's fall. Where we got Satan, and where the one-third of the angelic host that went with him in his rebellion came from. And where the prince of the power of the air, where he came from, what was he doing before? And God uses none other than the king of Tyre on this planet as a physical representation of the god of this world, Satan, and his fall. Let's look at that for just a moment. Verse 12 continues, you are the seal of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You are in Eden. Well, right away, the bell should go off. The king of Tyre was not in Eden. Satan is who he's talking about. In the garden of God, every precious stone was your covering. And this gives us a little glimmer of what Satan was like before his fall. In his perfection, as he was the anointed cherub. You've heard of cherubim. That's I-M is plural in Hebrew. One cherub, two cherubim, with an I-M on the end. He was a cherub. And he was covered with every precious stone. The sardius, the topaz, the diamond, beryl, onyx, jasper, sapphire, turquoise, emerald with gold. 9 of the 12 stones that were on the high priest's breastplate. Remember the high priest, Aaron, when he came in, had one stone for every one of the 12 tribes, and he would bear them on his chest as he walked into the very presence of God in the holy place? Satan had 9 of those 12 stones as his covering. And it doesn't stop there. It says, the workmanship of your timbrels and pipes. You see, music has always been associated with the worship of God. And Satan seemingly was the angel to God of music. And now he's become the god of the music of this world. And I won't even go into that right now, but be very careful about music, because that's one place Satan is always at work trying to take God's new song and twist it into his old song. And so he was the workmanship of timbrels and pipes. Music was associated with the worship of God. It was prepared for you on the day you were created. Remember, Satan was created. Verse 14, you were the anointed cherub who covers. And the Hebrew of this speaks of this cherub over the very throne of God, and that Satan, before he fell, Lucifer, the anointed cherub, was like a covering hood, reflecting God's glory back down upon him to kind of multiply the praises to God as all the angels were singing and all the pipes and timbrels and all the worship was going on. Lucifer was there reflecting it back at God, the anointed cherub who covers. I established you. You were on the holy mountain of God. He had a special access into God's presence. You walked back and forth in the midst of the fiery stones. This is telling us a little bit about God's throne and how God has flaming fire, because the consuming fire, speaking of His holiness, is ever before Him. And of all the universe, Lucifer was allowed to come into the very presence of God, and he would walk back and forth on these fiery stones. Verse 15, you were perfect in your ways from the day you were created till iniquity was found in you. Remember, God created all things and they were perfect. And that's an absolute statement in Genesis. Everything was perfect. God said, it's all good, it's all perfect. And so Satan could not be malignant yet. Somewhere in that creation week, elevated with his pride, Satan becomes very proud. And if you want to keep your finger here, I'm going to read in Isaiah 14, because the rest of the story, it's amazing that Ezekiel stops, but Isaiah finishes this story. Why did he fall? Isaiah 14, I'm just going to read to you what happened. How you are fallen, verse 12 of Isaiah 14, O son of heaven, Lucifer, son of the morning, you're cut down to the ground. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit on the mount of the congregation on the furthest sides of the north. I will ascend into the heights of the clouds. Listen, I will be like the Most High. See, Lucifer in his mind couldn't imagine being greater than God. He knew how great God was. He just said, I want to be like you, God. You know what pride is like? Pride isn't saying I'm better than God. Pride is saying I'm going to be like you, God. I'm going to run my life. I'm going to do things my way. I'm not going to submit. And Lucifer was so proud, he said, I'm going to be like you, God. I'm going to get the reflection of your glory. I'm going to have people praise and worship me. And what does the scripture say? But you'll be brought down to the grave, to the lowest parts of the pit. Isaiah 14, 15. Well, this, and the only reason I brought this to you is this is a description of Tyre. God said the people of the land of Tyre, the people that lived in that city, this ancient marine capital of the Mediterranean, those people were just like Satan, bloated with pride. And God used them as an example of what he was going to do to Satan, is what he did to them. Well, pride was the very first sin. And every sin after it has been in some way an extension of pride. Pride led, of course, Lucifer to exalt himself above his Creator. And that bright star of the morning said five times in Isaiah 14, I will do this, I will do that. And pride swelled him up, and he was cast out of heaven. The original sin of Adam and Eve was pride, as they trusted their own understanding above God's. The writer of Proverbs says in chapter 11, verse 2, when pride comes, dishonor follows. Pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before stumbling, Proverbs 16, 18. Proverbs 21, 4, haughty eyes and a proud heart are the lamp of the wicked. They are sin. Pride comes in many forms. We may be tempted to be proud of our abilities. Some people take pride in their possessions. Some people in their education, some people in their societal status. Others are proud of their religious accomplishments. Some are even proud of their humility. But throughout the scriptures, the Lord calls his people to be humble. Before honor comes humility. And the reward of humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life, Proverbs 22:4. Proverbs 27 says, let another praise you, not your own mouth. Let a stranger, not your own lips. And I guess why this study of Tyre being destroyed is so powerful to me is that God said, I'm going to make an object lesson about pride. Satan was proud, he fell. Tyre became an example of Satan's pride, and I crushed them. And God said, Christians who are proud, I will likewise put down. Because if we don't humble ourselves in the sight of God, then he'll humble us. But if we will clothe ourselves with humility, he'll lift us up. Humility is an ingredient for spiritual blessing. Just as every sin finds its root in pride, every blessing finds its root in humility. The Apostle Paul said in Colossians that Humility is much like a garment that's hung in our closet. When you go home and look in your closet, your coat closet, or your clothes closet, and you look in there and see those garments, coats, whatever, hanging on hangers, remember that you have to literally reach in there, take it off, and put it on. Did you know that every day we have to clothe ourselves with humility? It doesn't just happen. We have to consciously make a choice to put down the fallen pride that's seeking to rise up and to clothe ourselves with the humility of Christ. Humility allows us to see ourselves like we are. It shows us because it shows us before God as He is. As pride is behind every conflict we have with people, if every problem of fellowship we have with the Lord were traced, it would be pride at its root. So humility is behind every harmonious human relationship. Humility is at the root of every spiritual success. And every moment you and I have joyous fellowship with Christ, it's the product of our humble approach to Him.